Today's daf, Masechet Erevit, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, on this Mitzvah Yom HaKippurim, is daf Nun. And if you recall, we were holding in the middle of the Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel about what is the din, how do we apply the din in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said that if the guy is on the road, he wants to get himself a Mokum Shvisa through apparating. And in order to be able to do that, he has to be able to know the place that he's apparating to, and he also has to define a very specific place within the Arba Ames that he's going to. Otherwise, it says, Lo Amar Klum. So if he just said, under the tree doesn't mean anything. That's what it says in the Mishnah. What does it mean when it says it doesn't mean anything? So Rav says it literally. Doesn't mean anything, meaning he has absolutely nowhere to be. He does not have a Mokum Shvisa. All he has is the equivalent of the Arba Amis that a person has if they left the Tchum, and that's basically what he's done. Shmuel says, no, that's not what it means. It means that he can go to the place, the general place that he was aiming to, but when it comes to an area that is too ill-defined, so that if it's on one place, it's not within 2,000 amas of his home, then basically that tree, let's say that tree is big enough to create a problem for him. If he's on one side, he won't be able to get to his home. So then that tree creates a situation of chamar gamal, because he can't get to his home, and he can't go in the other direction beyond where he was either. So because of that, he's allowed to go the 2,000 amas to the tree, but we don't know where he can go from there because we have no idea which side it was that he made his Erev, and he wants to get his Mokum Shvisa. If he wants to get to his house, he won't be able to. So we want to analyze today what are the Sforas of Rav and what are the Sforas of Shmuel. So first, let's talk about Rav. Omar Rabba, my time into Rav. So what's the logic over here? I mean, Shmuel makes sense because basically the guy gets himself a Mokum Shvisa. We're just not sure precisely where it is. And because of that, we have to be machmer on him, which makes a chamer gamel situation if the tree is big enough that he might be out of range of his home. Okay, I mean, that's a very specific case. It doesn't mean he doesn't get a Mokum Shvisa under the tree. But why would Rav say he doesn't get a Mokum Shvisa at all? So Rabba first gives an explanation in that a definition of a Mokum Shvisa is that it is defined. And if it's not defined, so then we cannot call it a Mokum Shvisa. Now, that's the simple understanding of what Rav is saying. The guy was misalik his das from where he is, and he's saying, I don't want to be here. But he did not properly define a well-defined rishus for him to yes get, and therefore he gets nowhere. He doesn't get there in the original place, and he doesn't get in the new place. Now, there's another possibility, and that Rabba said something slightly different, which was a lot more technical. And Rabba said like this, Ikri Amri Omar Rabba, my time in the Rab, Mishum de Kosova, Kosha Eno Bezachar Zeh, Afilu Bevat Achat Eno. The real problem over here is that when the guy says, I'm going to be under the tree, since there is more than one definition for being under the tree, we basically understand that he is throwing himself into both possibilities, and because he hasn't defined it. Problem is, if you're open to two possibilities, the rule is that if those two possibilities could not take effect one after the other, then if you try to make them take effect, neither takes effect, even though you're trying to make them take effect simultaneously. Now, there would be a major difference between these two approaches, because if the guy said, I only want to be kone amokum of arba, he says that specifically, I want to be kone amokum of arba under the tree. So then he's not trying to do more, something that wouldn't be able to be done one after the other. And because of that, in that case, Rav would agree with Shmuel. Okay, the guy has arba. As to which arba, we don't know. So in that case, it'll be the same problem of chamar gamal, possibly under certain circumstances, exactly the way that Shmuel said. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Ne'em B'Dvaro. So therefore, the difference would be, if he said, I only want four in this whole area without defining which four. So if the problem is Delo Misayim Atrei, he still hasn't defined which four. And according to the first opinion in Rabbah, Rav is still not going to allow him a Mokum of Shvisa because it's ill-defined. But if the only problem is not the lack of proper definition, but the fact that we can't allow you to get more than one potential Mokum Shvisa, over here he says, Beferish, I'm only being Kona one. And therefore, there's no problem of the issue of Kol Sheino Mezeach Hazeh, Afilu Bevat Achat Eino, because he said, I only want one. We just don't know which one. Fine. Now, the question is whether it's really true. I mean, Rav is taking for granted that we have this rule. Anything that can't take place one after the other, they don't take place simultaneously either. Now, we have some real problems with that because we've got a couple of cases that seem to say precisely what Rav says can't take place. And that's as follows. You said, says the Gemara Gufa. You said Kol Davar She'eino Mezeach Hazeh Afilu Bevat Achat Eino, and Abaye says that it's simply not true. Let's take a look at a brisa about somebody who gives too much maaser. He's taking off, instead of one-tenth of the peres, he's taking off one-fifth of the peres. So he's got double the amount of maasers that he's actually allowed to take. So let's imagine the case. He sets aside a bunch of his peres, takes off a fifth instead of a tenth, puts it on the other side, his peres are to the left, his maasers are to the right, and he says about the fifth that he took off, this fifth is maaser. So what happens in that case is that the peres that are on his left, they're perfectly okay. Why? Because he did take maaser. But as far as the peres on his right, which are the maaser, they're very mixed up. Why? Because if you take off anything beyond the 10% for Meiser, then the Meiser is not Chal on that extra. And because of that, it isn't Meiser and it remains Tevel. Because you never took off Meiser for it, right? You tried to make it Meiser, but it isn't Meiser. So you're left with Tevel mixed up in your Meiser. And that wrecked your Meiser. Now, the only thing you could do is take off Trumisa Meiser from some other place where you know that it's Tevel and you take it off on this Tevel properly. Okay. Now, according to you, and here's my question, says Abaye to Rav, according to you, the Meiser should not take place at all. Because let's imagine a case where a guy took off Meiser. Okay, now he wants to take off Meiser again. So he's going to take off two-tenths, essentially creating one-fifth Meiser. Can he do that? No. According to you, since it couldn't have been done one after the other, so nothing should have happened when he tried to do it simultaneously, and therefore the Meiser should not be Chal at all, theoretically, and the Brisa says that it is, which means that your rule is clearly not true. Because why shouldn't we say Kol Sheino Mezeach Hazeh Afilu Bevat Achat Eino? Because basically what you're saying is the same way that you can have two potential Mokum Shvisas being Chal simultaneously, neither of them is Chal. You can't have two-tenths of Meiser being Chal, because since they both can't be Chal one after the other, neither of them is Chal. It's exactly the same case, says Abaye. So how does the Brisa say that you can? Says the Gemara, it's not the same at all. Totally different, says Rabbi. Look, if I wanted to give off Meiser by taking Meiser on each molecule, half of that molecule, right? So now, couldn't I do that? So I want to take off Shiny Meiser to Yitzir V'chatzoyin. If a person would say, I want to take each half of a chita and make it Meiser, could I do that? Yes. So if I wanted to take out one-fifth, right? I take out a fifth and I say, look, this fifth is Meiser. What I'm really saying is that half of each grain is Meiser. And now you've got mixed Meiser and Tevel in this grain. I can do that. I can't do something similar when it comes to my Mokum Shvisa. I can't say I want my Mokum Shvisa in a half of every Arba Amayzav. It's ridiculous. So because of that, there's a tremendous difference. It is possible for me to restrict the chalos of the Meiser to the 10%, even though I said it this way. There's nothing wrong with half of each thing becoming Meiser. But it's obviously absurd for me to say half of each Amma is going to be my Mokum Shvisa. You've got to have one area of your Arba Amas. So that's not a problem. Okay, fine. That's not a problem. How about Meister Behema? Meister Behema, you can't do that. You can't make half of an animal Meister the way you can make half of a Chita Meister, right? So in Meister Behema, which you could not do by halves, and nonetheless, Rava says that if you have two animals, remember the way you take off Meister Behema, you put in your 10 animals, or however many there are, you let them start walking out one by one, number 10 comes out, and you take a dab of paint, and you paint it, and that you say, this is Meister. How about if two animals come out side by side as number 10? So Rava said, if side by side they come out and number 10, and you're counting, right? And you say, and 10, and out walk the two animals as 10. So now basically you've got the double Meister situation that you had with the Chita, correct? The din is that you do have Meister. The problem is you don't know which one it is. So you've got Asiri and Achadasar Muravin Zebezeh. So both of them are basically going to be a problem for you. One of them is Meister. The din is, in this case, is one of them is shlomim, which is a bit complicated, but we learned that, if you recall, in Becheres. One of them is shlomim. And there's a difference between Meister and shlomim, and you're going to really get into trouble, because remember that in the shlomim, you've got the din of you have to be soimech, and you've got chazav eshoik, and all the kind of things that you don't have with the Meister. Fine, but how you deal with it is a different problem. What bothers us right now is that according to the supposed rule that kol she'eino b'zeach hazeh, I already took out number 10, and then I say about number 11, okay, you're also 10. Does anything happen? No. So according to Rabbah, just because I said two of them simultaneously are 10, nothing should happen, and neither of them should be 10, because they can't possibly be chal one after the other. Says the Gemara, it would be true, except that you're forgetting a very important rule. The din is that we learn out of a pasuk that you actually can create by calling number 11 10 in certain cases. You can indeed create a situation where both of them will be meiser, or obviously we'll have to treat one of them as shlomim. But the din over here is that meiser vehima, in the event that you made a mistake, which we'll explain in a minute from the Mishnah, and there you do have a case of bizeh achar zeh. And remember, the entire rule of Rabbah is only kol she'eino bizeh achar zeh. But by Meiser, you actually have a theoretical zeh achar zeh. How is that? We learn in the Mishnah in Becheres that if you called number 9 by mistake, 10, and you lost track, and then number 10 comes out, and you say, wait a minute, okay, so then this is 9, right? And then the number 11, so now you're trying to make up for the mess that you made, right? So now you called number 10 9 because you figured this way, okay, fine. So now you started with 9, and you made the mistake of calling number 11 10 because you just said 9. Boy, this guy's got problems. So the din over there is that all three of them become Kodesh in this case. So then the one that actually was number 10, even though you called it 9, that's the one that actually becomes Meiser. And the din is that the 9th and the 11th, because of the way that you called them all 10, they become Kodesh, but they're treated as Shlomim. And that we learn out from an extra pasuk that explains that Kol Asiri. So that the problem over there is, what is the meaning of kol? Kol ma'aser bakar v'tzom. There's no kol. So that's what it says. Kol adds more than one ma'aser. So that doesn't prove anything, because then it's possible for it to be b'zacharzeh. This is not a problem for the supposed rule of kol she'eino b'zacharzeh. Okay? Let's get another case, which seems to show that you could still do things simultaneously if you cannot do them one after the other. We know that you need to bring arba'im lechem with a teida. Now, in the case of a teida, which you certainly, after you were magdish the 40 challahs, you cannot make any more challahs kodesh, right? And you certainly don't have it b'zacharzeh. And nonetheless, it says that in a case where a guy shechted a korban teida, and he had brought 80 challahs, double the normal amount. So Chizkiah says, okay, 40 out of the 80 are kodesh. Rabbi Yochanan says the idea is that lo kachu al arba mitok shmonim, even 40 don't become kodesh. So we see, according to Chizkiya, that if you've got 80, and you couldn't possibly make 80 one after the other, but since you shechted the teda on it, that we do have 40 that are kosher. And basically, I mean, if this is what Chizkiya says, and then Chizkiya is the one that we're going to paskin like, because Chizkiya is the Rebbe of Rabbi Yochanan, so we're not going to worry about Rabbi Yochanan's arguing over here, because it would mean that according to the Rebbe of Rabbi Yochanan, you do have a Kedusha of Arboim, which would mean that according to Rabbah, we do have a Mokum Shvisa. One Mokum Shvisa is Chal out of the two possibilities, just like the 40 is Chal out of the 80, even though they haven't been defined. Says the Gemara, this has nothing to do with the question at hand. I'm sorry. We explained this. Itmar Allah, Omar Rabbi Zera, you don't understand the machlokas here. Of course, everybody agrees, both Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiya. If the guy said at the time that he's shechting the Teda, and he says, I want likachu arba'im mitoch shmoni, I want 40 out of the 80 to be Kodesh, that's for sure no problem, because that he said beferish, I want 40. That's perfectly kosher. If the guy said, I will not make this kodesh for 40. It's only kodesh if all 80 can be kodesh. So then everybody agrees that nothing is kodesh. That's for sure. The argument is only in a case where the guy didn't say anything. So Chizkiya holds that what this guy was thinking in having 80 over here, he didn't really want for there to be 80 to be kodesh. But remember that very often people bring extra in order to make sure that if anything happens to their korban, they have achrayas on the korban. It's called achrayas. You're mafri shechot v'achrayas. So Chizkiya believes that basically the guy only wants 40 to be kodesh. He brought along another 40 just to be ready in case something happened. So l'achrayas k'mechavein, and therefore he's bringing them on a t'nai, that these shouldn't, I only want 40. Which means that, for all intents and purposes, it's as if he said, Beferish, I only want 40 out of 80. In that case, it's exactly the same as saying, I only want Arba Amos out of all the area under the tree. We said before that that would not be a problem because you do not want more than one Mokum Shvisa. Same thing was true over here. You do not want more than 40 to be Kodesh. Rabbi Yochanan holds that this guy's a nut, and he thinks he can bring 80, and nobody holds that you could bring 80 because of Rabbah's rule. That's exactly the point. Kol sheino b'zachar zeh, afil b'vachachas eino, and therefore there's nothing. Fine. Omer Abaye, let me just explain something to you. When Rav said before that you haven't well-defined an area, okay, and because of that, you don't have anything. But let's imagine a case where the tree was only 11 amos in its entire shaded area. Okay, so the only question is somewhere in these 11 amos. If it's 12, I agree we got a problem. If it's 11, then Rav would say, then you don't have a problem. You know why? Because it really doesn't matter if you've only got 11. So let's imagine, where might the guy have said, he wants his 4 amas all the way to the north. Fine. All the way to the north is 4 amas from the northern side, which extends 1/2 an amma into the middle area of the 4 amas, right? He wants it all the way to the south. Very good. So his 4 amas extend 1/2 an amma into the middle 4 amas. If he wants the middle 4 amas, so then we know exactly. But the bottom line is, if we look at the middle 4 amas, then basically we know that somewhere here, which is a Mokum Mesuyim, because 4 amas, we don't consider it to be different places. So in this place, he has a Mokum Mesuyim, and therefore Rav would be happy with that, because as long as part of the area is defined, you don't need to define the whole area. So therefore, if it's 12 amas, Rav would insist it's not well defined. But if it doesn't have 12 amas, it's got only 11 amas, so then, Haremiksat Beto Nikar, he does have a well-defined area. Now, the next Hatkafa is absolutely brilliant and has actually served as a very central argument in a lot of modern physics and statistics. So, Maskifla Ravuna Breder of Yeshua. Ravuna Breder of Yeshua is absolutely brilliant objection. The brilliant objection is, let me just explain it outside. The brilliant objection is there is no such thing as the middle four amas. The middle four amas are a creation of your imagination. But essentially, there's nothing specific about the four middle amas. Yes, there is a middle, but the middle is a point. The middle does not extend over four amas unless you want it to. This is very similar to the question of whether a stack of cards is considered to be statistically organized because all of the cards are in the correct order. The problem is that physics doesn't recognize that correct order. That's your imagination that has created that correct order for the cards. As far as nature is concerned, it's a completely random arrangement of cards. So who cares? The same thing is true over here. First, you created the idea that there must be a middle area of four amas. I argue there is no such middle area. So therefore, if he wanted it on the left side, it's on the left side, and there's no area that is defined at all. If he wants it one arm away from the left, there's still nothing defined, and so on and so forth. Therefore, Tainas Ravuna Bered Rav Yehoshua, that is ridiculous. Because Dilma Ba'arba Da'ai Gisa, or Ba'arba Da'ai Gisa Kamisayim, I don't understand. He said where he wants it. That place where he wants could be any place along a line. But there's no such thing as the four middle amas. Therefore, says Rav Huna Bered Rav Yehoshua, your concept is right, but your application is nutty. The thought is right, but change it from 12 amas to 8 amas. So if the tree is less than 8 amas, yes, then absolutely. Because there is no way to be miyachid a place of 4 amas that is not going to interfere with the other place of 4 amas. So therefore, any 4 amas that you choose are going to have some of his place. Then it's true that his place is Misuyam. So this is the correct way to say it. Lo shana labi ilan shetachtav shmona amas. If you have 8 amas, then Rav says you don't have a makom Misuyam. But if you have anything less than 8, let's say you have 7 amas, then miksat beto is nikar. Okay, excellent. So then that would mean that according to Shmuel, we don't care about that. You can measure your tum. We're not quite sure whether it's from the north, from the south, and therefore you could have a problem in your, if you're in a particular case where that is going to make a difference about whether you can get to your house or not. And interestingly enough, we actually have a braita that spells out what Rav says, and we have a braita like Shmuel. Let's take a look at first the braita of Rav. It says over here, somebody is going along the road, and it's Friday, and it got dark too quickly. He thought he had extra time. And he knows of a specific tree, or he knows of a specific fence. And he says, so far it's going to be just like our Mishnah. And he says, okay, I want my Mokum Shvisa to be under the tree. I want my Mokum Shvisa to be along that wall. Lo Amar Klum. Fine. Doesn't add anything to the Mishnah. But if he said, I want my Mokum Shvisa to be in a well-defined specific place, so then he's allowed to walk until he gets that place. When he gets to that place, he's allowed to walk through that entire place, assuming that it is a closed area, and then he can walk beyond that place 2,000 amas. Now, when I say a specific place, I mean a very specific place. It has to be a mokum esuyam. In other words, if he says, I want to make my mokum shvisa on the hill. Okay, so if the hill is asarat vachim high, and it is from 4 amas till beit satay. Okay, so then that is a mokum, so to speak, with bechitzas, because a hill has bechitzas, and it's not larger than beit satayim, so it doesn't have to be okaf ladira. So therefore, when that is my place, that becomes 4 amas to me, because that's my mokum shvisa. Same thing would be true if I've got this valley, and it's 10 tvachim deep, and it's no larger than Beit Satayim. Obviously, if it's smaller than 4 amas, you don't achieve anything, because you have 4 amas anyway. That's why it says 4 amas. It's not that 4 amas is meaningful. Only 4 tvachim is meaningful, but that doesn't matter. As long as it's not larger than Beit Satayim, because if it's larger than Beit Satayim, it's not considered to be a Mokum Misuyam, because we disallow such things unless they're Hukaf Ladira, and this wasn't, right? But anything that is not Misuyam, either it doesn't have Mechitzas, or it's larger than Beit Satayim, and so on and so forth, then you only get your 4 Amas where you land up. Okay, and now, so far, we still don't know why are we saying this is like Rav. Okay, let's continue. What if there were two people traveling along the road? Now, one has his apparition license because he knows where to go, Echad Makir. The other one doesn't know. So the one who doesn't know can hold on to the one who does know, and then that guy apparates to that place, and then the other person can come along, right? Because Zer She'eino Makir, what he does is, he says, okay, listen, I don't have any Mokum Shvisa, I just want to be with you. So if he gives over his Mokum Shvisa to the one who does know, then the one who is aware says, okay, I want my Mokum Shvisa in this place, and that covers both of them. Now, here we get finally to the place that says exactly what Rav said. If you define exactly where those four amas are, then all of this works. You can't budge. Lo yazuz mimikomo. Who's the one who said you can't budge? Rav. According to Shmuel, you certainly can budge. And therefore, this is a brisa against Shmuel. Whoa. So must we give up? Not necessarily. I mean, what we could do is define the brisa in such a way that it makes sense even according to me. Because, I mean, remember, the entire description of the Mishnah, according to my Shita, the entire description of the Mishnah was a specific case, correct? I mean, it was talking about where your house was just out of reach of the south side of the tree, but within reach of the north side of the tree. I mean, so fine. So if we're talking about cases that are specific, I can define a case where I would be perfectly comfortable with what this brayta says. I'll tell you what the case is. You've got from the place where you are currently standing till the place in the tree, let's say the tree trunk, right? The ikar of the tree. So to get to there, you've got 2,004 amas exactly, which just works out perfectly for you if you had defined it at the tree trunk. Because then you just got up to your four amas, and that's the four amas that you have at the end. Okay, so that's good. The problem is that if, in this case, he didn't say where it is, so if his Mokum Shvisa is on the other side of the tree, away from the ikar, further away from the direction, that would mean that his Mokum Shvisa is outside of his trum. You can't create a Mokum Shvisa outside of your trum because you can't apparate outside of the trum. And therefore, you ended up, even according to me, you're basically stuck in nowhere land. And kam le levar mitruma, and therefore, you would be not able to move. So if you defined it as arba amas, so then if they're within the 2,000 amas of where you are, that's fine. Then you can get there. But if you didn't define which arba amas, we do not know that you've got a Mokum Shvisa at all. And I agree to that. And because of that, you can't get there and you are stuck. So this does not prove Rav, because there may be a case that I would agree. Now, there's a braita, however, that does prove Shmuel. The braita is talking about a case where a guy made an Erev, he tried to make an Erev, in opposite direction. So it says like this. If a guy made a mistake, and he put his Erev in two opposite directions, or if a guy didn't make a mistake, he actually thought that you can make an Erev in two separate directions, which of course you cannot, and he did that on purpose. Or he told two of his workmen, he said to them, go put down an Erev, and they both went, but they went in opposite directions. So one put the Erev L'Tzafon, one put the Erev L'Darom. So what can the guy do? He can go only as far to the north that the Erev to the south allows him to go, because to the south, obviously, if it was at the end of 2,000 amas, he couldn't go to the north at all. Okay, whatever it is, comes off of his other trum. Remember, the Erev simply moves your trum. It doesn't give you extra space. And he can go as far to the south as his Erev to the north would have allowed him to go. And if they've used up the entire trum, each one of them was put 2,000 amas out, he can't go anywhere. Lo yazuz mimikomo. Okay, so we see that if the guy put in two Erevs, one of them definitely was chal. Okay, so then that means that Shmuel is right, and that it's possible to have an ill-defined Mokum Shvisa. So Rav would have said that this is ridiculous. So does that mean that we have a braisa against Rav? Yes, actually it does. However, remember that at times, if Rav wants to ignore a braisa, he can, because being on that liminal space between the Tanoim and the Amoraim, when Rav determines himself to be a Tana, he can disagree with the braisa.